bumping me out, but I've tried to post Ion stuff there, and it doesn't show up, or I don't know, I might have to work on that. It's a glitch in the Matrix, maybe. We'll see if we can...
Right, or Ion doesn't want to be on there.
Right, but they're talking, their memes talking up Trump is things that Ion said back in 2015,
he did talk about Trump in 2009, though.
Right, but the talk was, Ion said, if you go against Trump publicly, then bad things are going to happen to you. You're going to get knocked down publicly if you publicly do it. And the 4chaners are trending this talk now again, that the Trump curse is in effect. And that, you know, Neil Young's house burnt down in California because he was very viciously anti-Trump and had many Hollywood political.
What happened to the fire? You never can get a goddamn conclusion, so I don't look into it too closely. But did the fire stop? Are they still going? What happened?
I think they're still going, Bob, but some of them have been put out to the major areas. The town of Paradise burnt down completely, and
now,
some of it's still
what?
Going.
Carol, be interested. Guess who lived in Paradise in the 90s and 2000s after Joe Don Sloan died? His widow, his ex-wife, and she made the decals in Paradise till she died in 2000. So that's how we know Paradise. That's where we got our decals from in the 90s and early 2000s. Is Carol typing any response to that?
No. Phil says, apparently huge amounts of vote rigging were committed by the Dems in the midterms. Q says that they have all the proof and will release the evidence before the 45-day rule elapses in December. Huge little man contrast on the way me thinks.
So Q finally says they're going to do something. Let's see if they do it.
And there were people saying that Ion was Q, but we talked about that a couple of months back, and that's not true.
Yeah.
Ion's not Q.
No.
It's some other.
That's like a Q&A. Oh, yeah, he's QAnon. You know, question and answer, Q&A. Ion knew to withdraw for the last 2 years, almost 2 years, while the Android meme went supernova. And Ion's saying it's not worth discussing. We told you the larger trajectory, the arc of it, and that's that. And don't get lost in the noise.
Mm-hmm. Or enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride.
Did Carolyn come back? And did Carolyn go away? Did she go home? Go to bed?
She hasn't commented yet. So, Bob, a recent interview or something, you said that Trump's reacting to the media the way he knows how, and he needs to talk to you about the McLuhan stuff to get the next level, the next
and
step.
And the LaRouche stuff. Yeah, he needs to define his terms better. LaRouche points out, LaRouche, they support Trump. They understand the battle is in, but he doesn't define the American system and what LaRouche's program is correctly. He screws it up. But I don't know if he needs to get it right. He's only the president. Minor activity today, you know. It's not that. It's a distraction, remember. He can't be really significant in terms of Dobbstown. He's a distraction, remember. So we
right,
don't.
He's running he's running the biggest distraction in history right now, and the media is upset about.
Yeah, he's not even being a president. He's not even doing. He's not doing anything, or I don't know what. Something gets done, and he claims it, and it just carries on by itself. He's being ionic. He's not going to meddle with it. The economy will just keep booming, and everything will boom, and more and more people will get jobs. He hasn't got any way to explain how it happened.
Well, other than he met Connie and Bob, Dr. Dean and Bob one day in Honolulu, and it all rolled on from there.
Yep.
Interesting.
Let's go over and see what Ron Rosenbaum's saying. Now, this is a New Yorker who grew up with Trump, and he's a journalist and done many books, and he's the most extreme of tweets on Trump. So he's a New Yorker. He knows all the New York stories about Trump. Ron Rosenbaum, let's see what he's been tweeting last while. He says, back on November 15th, never forget, we're dealing with a president who's cornered and scared. And who knows, he's imminently indicted, if not already. It's parallel to Watergate, is that period right after SCOTUS ordered Nixon to turn over tapes, Supreme Court, I guess, and the discovery of the smoking gun, except we already know. So that's November 15th. Then talk about blaming the victim. Quote, bleeding is the leading cause of death in mass shootings. I guess Trump said that. No, maybe it's guns and NRA money that are the leading cause. And then, somebody, Ray Pride says, how about sending reporters to investigate ways to prevent mass shootings? And Ron says, talk about blame the victim. Quote, bleeding is the leading cause of death in mass shootings. Well, maybe Ray Pride said that. No, maybe it's guns and NRA money that are the leading cause. Then there's an article, Trump and Acosta, when showboats collide. There's a picture of Trump with his Matrix coat on and his slick back ducktail from the 50s. And Ron says in big capital letters, and we have a winner for world champion in defective moral equivalence. Yes, a guy who wanted to ask another question is just as bad as a guy who caged children. The right has become so freaking morally corrupt in desperate attempts to normalize Trump. Then he says, next day, 14 hours later, sorry, but the outrageous idiocracy of this hack demands all caps. So what I just read, all caps. You know the movie Idiocracy? He sees that Trump is part of the idiocracy unfolding of the White House. Sorry, but the outrageous idiocracy of this hack take demands all caps. Idiocracy of this hack. I guess Trump is the hack. Then they show Trump feasting on Thanksgiving, and he's saying, as if Trump is saying this. This is what he has Trump saying. We sure whipped that caravan, did we not? It's like they never existed. Of course, with all the casualties, Trump may have to go to Arlington next year. Price of being a hardworking president. Okay, so those were mild. Usually he calls him an outright gangster, mafia guy. He says, already a Trump stooge, likely Whitaker has violated oath of office and disclosed hyperbolized version of inside Mueller dealings. Gee, do you think Donald J. Trump could be lying? Time to fire, indict, and impeach both of them. So somebody says, Trump has referred to the inner workings of the Mueller investigation. What has his hatchet man, Matt Whitaker, told him, says Max Boot. Ron answers, no wonder Trump is appalled considering the smoothly working machine of the Trump White House and the overall chaotic criminality of the Trump presidency. And the presidency is in quotes. Karen says to him, still think there's no need for legislation to protect the Mueller investigation? Ron says, I'm beginning to believe those who've said Trump tweets are projection. So he's beginning to believe those who said they are projection. Who is screaming no collusion? Who's now out of control, batshit crazy? Not Mueller, but Trump. Please 25th this unfit danger to the nation and the world before he nukes some non-existent caravan. Straightjacket time. This is a respected journalist in New York. He represents what the majority of New Yorkers think, probably. That's what's coming out of Ron Rosenbaum, who has gone batshit crazy under the Trump phenomenon.
And it was, and Larry King from CNN recently came out from retirement and said that CNN doesn't do news anymore, that they can't stop. They've given up on doing news. And this was Larry King, that you know, former CNN guy and big host and thousands of shows with interesting people, says they can't do news anymore. They can't stop talking about Trump. They gave up on doing news and just focused on this guy, and that's all their show is now. So what does Larry King know about media that his old network won't admit to? You know, and he's right. retired from CNN, so he can come out and say whatever he wants about it. He doesn't have to toe the line of CNN.
Right.
Bob, well, is Ted Turner still alive? What would he say?
Yes, he's been castrated or something. He's considered ineffectual and out of the loop. Not really, doesn't have much energy. I saw an article on him a couple of years ago. He got cardboard boxed.
Yeah, he's so very ill. He's sick with MS or some major disease,
right.
And he needs some drops. Even though he's a billionaire, he can't afford to be healthy. Which
That's
is
right.
Strange to me, with a lot of the super wealthy elite, that their health problems are starting to show up in their earlier, later years. A lot of them are very sick. Like, I remember Lady Gaga got very sick, and a lot of major media people are coming down with their illnesses, or they drop out of the spotlight, or the Hollywood stars are dealing with PTSD with Trump. They claim they can't sleep, or they're not eating or something. Yeah, they say that he's making them ill. Literally.
Yeah.
Presence is making
people. That's a symptomatic of the frequency change. He's an expression of the frequency change.
And is it they're just not adjusting to the frequency properly?
Yeah.
And they need the drops, and they're blaming someone that they can see.
Right. That's right. He's expressing the frequency change. He's a figure for it. And they think it's all him doing it. They don't know that they're actually uncomfortable for internal reasons, whatever the frequency is massaging in their cells. That's where the discomfort, the itch is. Phil's going crazy. Phil says, "What rubbish! That guy's a globalist. Trump is doing sun sea." Quote. When you are strong, let your enemy think you are weak. You know, sun. That book, The Art of War, or something. Then Phil says, "I unstated to Bob and Dave Neufeld that Hillary will be convicted of treason." So, unlike Mr. Rosiebum, we know how this thing turns out. Kyle says, Trump can't be impeached. It takes 67 votes in the Senate, and the Republicans control the Senate. Well, what we're going to do, Brian, is I've got to play. Are you listening to the Forex recordings?
Yeah, I've been going to them bit by bit, and Bert's been blown away by them, and yeah, bit by bit, they're long, just a little section.
Yeah, and they're difficult.
Time.
Yeah. And so I'm going to go on to the next one. We're going late tonight, and I'm going to play this. This will be an hour and 22 minutes. So if we do it now, that gets me into ending the show at 3. No, it would 2:14. Holy shit, ending the show at 4. 2:14, an hour, 3:14. Yeah, boy, that's 3 hours longer than usual. So I don't know if we should say that Bert's gone. You want to say something, Sean?
Yeah, Bob, listening. I had some people over, so I couldn't stay the whole show, but they've left now.
Good. Well, then you're ready. You're ready,
ready.
For... Little Nelson and his battle with the fate of the universe. He's got Ion in his corner.
Yeah, lost in triangulation.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So thanks for calling in, Brian. And if you're still around, I'll be able to talk in an hour and 22 minutes or 15 or so minutes till the top of the hour. Then I must go and do my ablutions, which is TV program and other responsibilities. And I must be ready for when Carolyn wakes up. What?
Very good, Bob. Thank you. And I'll try to stay away from your toilet.
Yes, please have a different scenario when you come here. Create a better... Don't think that you're inferior or whatever it is.
Wait, but everyone, Bob's shit doesn't stink. Remember that. He's on the silver,
yes.
And it's the finest shit this side of infinity.
So there's Sam. Sam is following the Nelson tapes rigorously, so he's all happy that he's finally going to hear some more Nelson. So you never know where the recording's going to go. You might have an impression the first 5 or 10 minutes, that's not going to last. So this is always turned out to be interesting and enjoyable, if you can stay with it. Okay, Brian, we'll talk to you soon, if not in an hour and 22 minutes. Oh, yeah, and you'll be here December 22nd.
22, yep, Club 22 meets to talk with Greg about China, Myanmar.
China war stories.
Yes.
Okay, guys, I'm muting everybody, and then we start the recording. So this is an hour and 20 minutes, so we'll be going into the next hour, Bill. Where is it? Still looking for it. There it is. Okay, June 2nd, 2011. And I've muted everybody. How come I can still hear people? Sounds like Greg's still up. I don't know what that is. So, okay, this is a session with Nelson, recorded on June 2nd, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 1:22 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Hi, Ion. How's everything going?
Oh, bubbly, thanks.
Oh, well, it's been an interesting week. I spent some time on looking up this sine wave graphing and all that stuff, and I still don't know if I'm quite doing it correctly, graphing the waves correctly. So I don't really know where to go from here.
Okay, how are your numbers coming out with what you are doing?
Well, a lot of the times that I've got to clarify how to do the rest of it in, so I can go through. So what I'd like to do is I just want to continue the equation that we were doing the last time, continue through it, and we'll see how the numbers are coming out, because there's
okay.
Another step.
That's fine.
And then I can know for sure that where that the problems lie. And that's pretty
okay.
much it. So the last session we ended on the actual graphing the waves, which so I started again and I redid the I did a second triangle over the week, and all of my trig and everything like that is coming up exactly the same, which is fantastic. So I'm doing that part of it correctly.
Good.
But now I just need to figure out the rest of it. Well, not figure out, just get through and make sure what I'm doing is
correct. Well, okay. Now you have your visual, you have your picture, you know the process, you're just trying to make it match. And if it works and if you get it to matching and working, then you know, taking something posthumously or historically and see exactly where it falls, then you sort of know, you see.
Yeah.
I mean, J.W. plays with the Dow Jones a bit, and he was pleasantly delighted for the 273-point drop the other day.
Yeah, I know. It dropped a lot. Am I overcomplicating this?
Yes, you are.
I am, right?
Yes, easy as moving your bowels, baby.
So how do I absorb it and make it and approach it and it becomes easier?
Make it ethereal. All right. Now Bob would say, don't give it any attention. Let it flow. Let it find you. Let it work out. And you know where you are. Okay. You know where your plotting is. You even have a very grasping understanding of how your GPS works on your damn telephone, do you not?
Yeah. Yeah.
You even get the science behind the frivolity of the application of time.
Yeah.
It'll even gauge and tell you how many minutes it'll take you to get to your destination. And the fastest and the shortest and the easiest route. You see?
So you
have no trouble with code and applying code. Now, here's in essence what's happening. You plug it in an address in your telephone to go to the coffee house, and it's taking you to the grocery store. And you're like, what the fuck? I put in the coffee shop, and it's taking me to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you notice, if they sell coffee in the grocery store, you may be solved in the issue, not an issue. But you don't know that until you come to a place to calculate if it's where you are arriving to is equal to the debenture that you've issued or engaged the triangulation regarding. So let's simplify it. Okay? You get the picture, you get the triangle, you get geometry. Okay?
Yeah.
You're not having any trouble with the trig. That's plotting waves, frequency wavelengths. Now, that has frequency has absolutely nothing to do with time. The only application of frequency that affects this equation at all is that you're taking a frequency and plotting it on a flat plane.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, then you can gauge the specific area between the two tangents. Well, with your very healthy knowing of geometry, you know that the wavelength goes beyond those tangents, but the only points you're interested in is the one between those two tangents that are represented, that you chose and you divided, representing a relegated position called time.
Mm-hmm.
See, so that's why we spend a great deal of energy getting it the visual for you. So when you got to this place, you could see the sighted aspect of adjustment.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Okay. Now, so now, I guess take it from where you are. And let's sort of go from there.
Okay, great. Well, where I'm at right now is I've got my triangle laid out, my tangent plotted, like my B1A1 is marked on top of the triangle, and I am now need to use the angles that I found using the trig and plot my waves.
Okay. Good.
Pardon?
What about C? You said you plotted A and B, and we say, what about C?
Oh, and I've plotted C. Like, I've found all the three angles, but now do I also... In the way I have it stepped out, the steps that I have are, I've established my B1A1 tangent, and... and now I have to go sine A cos A, sine B cos B, and then plot all intersection points between the AB and B1A1T.
Well, you actually also have to plot the points, I mean, plot the waves, so you can get your peak and trough to gauge the intersection points.
Now, for example, when JW does this, does he do it all on paper?
No.
Okay, it's acceptable to be using a calculator to plot the actual waves,
He doesn't.
Okay. Because there's a couple. Like I've got my triangle laid out over 10 blocks, and then I've got my tangent at 7 blocks. Okay,
fine.
And the wave.
Well, that's just because you plotted it. That's where the value's plotted.
Yes,
uh-huh.
But for example, the largest number. What's going to determine how wide the triangle is the C number, and
not necessarily.
Well, like
you could have an A value of 10,000 and a C value of 2.
Oh, no, I know. I mean, how far to the right on the graph it is. It's that.
Well,
way.
That's just because you're doing it from an now you're getting into aspect and ratios. Okay,
okay.
And we've talked about that a little bit. Aspect and ratio, whatever C turns out to be, you can adjust the ratio to give you more blocks and spaces. So, see, it makes no difference. As long as whatever ratio shift you do it to every angle, no problem, because you're pulling it into a quadrant. This is going to help you. You know when you're pulling a sine and a cosine wave?
Mm-hmm.
If you get what you're doing, if you were doing, remember the Christmas paper tube?
Yep.
And remember, if you spun it through a period of time and it went around that circle, that's dimensional, correct?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, you also have a graph. All right. Now, if you look at that piece of paper and you have an X and a Y, that means you're square in the middle, that you would plot these points regarding, correct?
Yes.
Okay. If those points were in quadrants and you had a tube the size of A and C with X and Y being 0 would be the center of that tube, would that help you visually, Nelson, to see what the hell you're really doing?
Oh, okay. So basically the sine wave. Well, in that sense, if that was the tube, so the tube would be from the distance from C to A vertically.
Well, that's sort of the point of your AC line segment, remember, because that's the coefficient of why you're plotting A2 in the new A1B1C1 triangle. Remember the little bitty one that you're creating? If that helps you see it that way, that may conquer this complexity that you've added to it. And you're all over it. We say you're doing it, but you say your numbers aren't working. So,
I haven't gotten to the point where the numbers. I don't know if the numbers are working or not.
Okay.
I don't know if they are or not.
Good. Okay. Then
I just want to make sure what I'm doing with the waves is right.
Well, you're the clothes are put in the washing machine. Detergent's been put in. You've turned it on. It's spun. Okay? The only thing left is put in the dryer and dry the clothes. Well, instead of drying the clothes, you're running them through the spin cycle again.
Okay.
You're spinning.
Okay. So I don't need to be spinning is what you're saying.
Right.
So
well,
I
you can if you want to. It's perfectly all right with us, but you're trying to get to a position where this works.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it's all right. But see, there's a bit of hesitancy of, if this is so cool, this will change my life. And so sometimes it's very easy to slow it down to the point till you catch up with it.
I see what, yeah. I think that may be a bit of it.
Now,
like, I definitely feel that way.
We know. And hey, guess what, Nelson? Guess what that's representative of?
What?
A frequency.
Hmm.
You see? That's a frequency.
So will the height of my waves, will the height of my sine waves and cos waves be the distance from the x-axis and A? Like, basically, will the height of my waves be the number of A?
A would be the between the two tangents, the top of the box, A would be the middle of that sine cosine wave.
Okay, let me just let's say that again.
Would be parallel. Wait a minute. You're all right.
Okay.
The line A that connects the two tangents will be parallel to your x-axis. That dotted line, remember we talk about the top of the box? Dotted line will be the absolute middle point of your peak and trough sine and cosine wave segment between the two tangents. Does that help?
Okay. Yeah. Is what's in front of me the right perspective of what we're talking about?
Well, if you're sure with your ratio perspective, you should have a triangle, and you should have a box with a dotted imaginary line from your two tangents, from A straight across and from B straight across. Okay, the little dot.
Let's talk about that. Let's just say that again. Okay, where is this box that you're talking about?
Okay. You have tangent AB, correct?
Yes.
AB goes as high as your piece of paper and as low as your piece of paper, correct?
No. AB.
It's Y.
Oh. Y, yes, correct.
So that tangent includes every price that is.
Yes.
So that line would go as high as high and as low as low.
Yes, that's what it does.
Now, granted, AB line segment is inclusive of the AB tangent, but the AB tangent includes every price. If it has a price, it's inclusive from that tangent.
Yes, okay.
Okay. Now you're setting a second tangent.
Yes.
Which would be what you're calling future, but it may be past and then almost up to now to prove your point.
Yes.
No problem, but we're talking about a period. Okay? What you're now doing is you're now setting a new Y tangent.
Okay.
Or A1B1 tangent.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. A tangent.
So now, future price, let's say if you're doing the triangulation from today, and then you're doing a future, then every price that has a price for the A to B two tangent, which is your tangent.
Yep.
Correct. Price would be included in that second tangent. Correct?
Yes. Yes, it is infinitely. It's a new Y. It's infinitely.
All right. So that's your new Y. But now, in the setting of that new tangent, you've also created yet another triangle.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now
to the
you're
right,
applying.
To the right of
now, okay. So now you have those two lines, those two tangents. They would be parallel, would they not?
Yes.
Every single time without fail or exception, would they not?
Yes, they would.
All right. So now, you take a right angle.
Yep.
And from your A point, you draw a dotted line parallel to your x-axis beginning at the A plotted point and go dot, 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 dot over to your A2B2 tangent.
Okay, got that.
All right, now that would be representative of the top of a box.
Yeah.
So you got two sides of the box. There you go, that'd be the imitation top of the box. Then you go to B, and you right angle it parallel to X, and you dot it over to the B1A A2 B2 tangent as well. That would be the imitation representative of the bottom of a box.
Yes.
All right. Now, your sine cosine waves of A, that dotted line, of course, would be the absolute center of your circle that you're pulling your sine cosine wave from.
Oh, okay. So
now, sine is going to begin 1 minus 1. Cosine is going to begin minus 1, but that's not a problem because it's flowing within the same radian of that circular aspect or ratio.
Okay, so these the sine waves pulled off of A actually follow a line that actually the center of the sine waves that are pulled off of A is the top of the box. It's
right,
in a sense.
Yes.
Okay,
and that's
and
why
same
we
with
said
B.
Right, and the same thing with B, and that's why we said it may help you if you looked at your graph paper and put a toilet paper roll on top of the X and Y and made where your original X, Y on your graph paper was the center of the toilet paper roll, you'd see that cylinder aspect.
Yes, and that's the same thing that's happening. Yes,
I use
basically
A and B, and then the same thing with C as well, just going in the opposite direction.
Okay, now with C, right now C hasn't shifted. Right, like the new position of A is the A2. The new position of B is the B2. For C to shift...
and C2 won't shift.
Okay.
Remember, because now look, see, makes no difference how large or small you make your triangle or how many tangents you pull off of it. The angle of C, your original value of C, won't change. It'll be the same.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
See, and so that's why it works, or that's why it works every time, regardless if you pull 2 or 200 tangents. Because that C value, which is your minus cos, minus sine, minus cosine value, that angle is set.
Yes.
See, so if you can get that, that's your constant. Because otherwise, C. Nelson, what you'd bump into is you'd have too many variables. You'd have more variables than you could calculate.
Uh-huh.
But since that C is going to be constant, and the purpose or the position of that minus sine minus cosine of C is setting the new landscape or horizon of your new x-axis.
Mm-hmm.
And then all you're doing is justifying or plotting the value of A2 on the new y in respect to the new x. And therefore it'll say the future price.
Okay. So that's why C can stay the same to keep the angles the same.
Exactly.
The angles
because see, it makes no. Because if you get good with this, what you'll be doing is you'll be pulling a B4A4 tangent and seeing what it was historically.
So in order to find the waves, in order to find the plot the sine wave, I use the angle of A.
Of course. Otherwise, you can't. It'll always be the same.
Okay, so the angle of A is the angle in between the angle between A and AC, AB and AC is the angle of A.
Exactly, that's right.
Okay.
And of course, to be able to calculate that, you have to right justify all your angles and subtract your B value, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's just simple right justification, you see.
Yes, the trig stuff is working out. Now I just need to feel confident about how I'm overlaying the waves on the triangle.
Well, your theory is good. Now get your Peter wet. See how you're doing.
Okay. So,
well, I mean, so, how else do you want to say that? You got the theory.
I agree with you.
Now get it wet and let's go.
I agree with you.
We want you fat. We want you fat, Nelson. You fat's the best thing that could happen to everything.
Thank you. So what I have to do is sine A, cos A, and then I find the intersection of those two waves.
You plot those waves, exactly, and then you note the intersection points.
Okay. Now, when I plot those waves, let me just think about this. The only thing I'm focused on is the intersections.
Correct. Yes, in the
okay,
peak
so
and the trough.
Yes, so I can now, the intersection of these waves is 1.1521 and 0.7071 relative to that new, not an X, but the top of the box. It's plotted along the top of the box.
Good. And you should have a row of peaks that would be north of your new A little dot line, and then you should have a row of intersection points just south of that dotted A line. That would be representative of the peak and the trough of that sine, cosine wave of A.
Okay. So right now, when I do the sine, cosine wave of A, the intersection point is above the dotted line.
Yes, and there also should be one below.
Oh, there is one below, but it's beyond the tangent.
Wait now.
Yeah, that's another thing that I wanted to ask you. Okay, when
your period's off. Your trough intersection shouldn't be past your second tangent.
Okay, see, that's another, yes, exactly. That's a question that I have relative to.
That's where you're letting you chip body think for you.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, that's a good way to put it. Because how many total waves, like how many peak trough should be within
Depends on the frequency.
And the frequency is set by the angle?
Yes.
Okay, because for example.
Okay. If you keep going, we're going to send you back to a slide rule. Remember slide rule?
Yep.
That's sort of ridiculous.
I don't remember them, but I've heard.
That's the olden school. But let's soften it for you just a little bit.
Okay.
You have a hula hoop, correct?
Yep.
And you take a marker, a chalk or a piece of marker, and you tape it to the one point on the hula hoop.
Yep.
And you take that hula hoop and put it up against the wall where the marker's on the wall. And you spin the hula hoop. That marker's going to make a down and a up and a down and a up and a down and up on that wall. That's plotting a wave.
Yes.
And then if you make it minus one from where you began and you spin it, then guess what? You're going to have that'll be a cosine wave. And then if you took the center of that hula hoop and made a straight line all the way down the wall, that would be your imitation A line. Remember the dot line?
Yes.
Okay. So then you look at the wall and you go, dot, it intersected, dot, it intersected, dot, it intersected. But on the length of the wall, which would be representative of your two tangents.
Okay. So how is the length of the wave? Basically, I don't know how to justify the amount the wave travels to the right onto my triangle.
Well, then you should look again at plotting a wave. Because the angle, see, if you took the toilet paper roll and laid it on its side,
yes,
that would be representative of the distance that the circular twirl would go up and down, and it's in a cone. See, it's in a cylinder. All right, but you're plotting it on a flat geometry representation. That's where this works, is you're taking something that's not one-dimensional and plotting it one-dimensionally.
Yeah, you're taking something that's actually two-dimensional.
Correct.
Three-dimensional.
Three-dimensional, that's right.
Yeah.
And if you've got the paper toilet paper cylinder and laid it down and looked at it, that may help you get a hold. But now there's all kinds of boob tube things and blah, 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 blah. But if that ain't getting you there, then try something else, you see.
Well, for example, a toilet paper is 360 degrees.
So is a sine and cosine wave.
Okay. Now, but when you put a specific degrees, like, for example, I'm trying to pull a sine wave off of 39 degrees.
Okay. So in the toilet paper roll, your radius would be based on the tangent of that exact percentage or degree within the toilet paper roll, and that's why it shifts and changes and
so
is different.
So it would be a smaller diameter.
Yes, it'd be a smaller. Well, it'd be a smaller toilet paper roll.
In terms of, not in terms of length.
No, the length is set. You'd cut the length of the toilet paper holder to the length between the two tangents. So if it was a 5-inch, if there was 5 inches between the tangents or the period of time, okay, or if it was 2 minutes, you just cut it shorter. That wavelength will carry on beyond it and behind it. But all you're interested in is what's between the two tangents. Good.
Okay. So, for example, a sine wave of 90. Is that going to be exactly half of a sine wave of 180 in terms of its...
Depends on the frequency, but yes.
You see, isn't the actual angle the frequency?
For example,
if I go 990X, is that the frequency?
The tightness? No. Wait now. Go. You're not off, but you're not there either. Okay.
Okay.
Do you know a slinky?
Yes.
Okay. The diameter of a slinky is?
Yes.
And if you stretch it all the way across your house, it's still a slinky, but the distance of the peak and trough of those waves going up and down would get smaller, would they not?
Yes.
That's what you're talking about. See, it's okay. How far you stretch it out or put it together. And then that repetition, you can calculate. It's no problem. You'll calculate it. But the stretching it out, you see, that's where you're getting, that's what you call your period. Or how tight or loose the wave is. And then the tighter the wave, the taller the peak and trough. No. Yes. And then, it's just the opposite. The looser the wave, the taller the peak and trough. And the tighter the wave, the smaller the peak and trough. So your smaller peak and trough, of course, would have less intersection points. The tighter the slinky squoze together, the more times you're going to have the intersection points.
Uh-huh.
You're counting how many ringlets of the slinky is stretched tighter or lower within the period or the two tangents that you're working with.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So,
and that's divisor, what's divided by.
Like, for example, if I go 5 sine 5x is going to be 5 high, and it's going to oscillate at 5 degrees of oscillation, or whatever that would be.
Mm-hmm. If you put
now,
there, yeah.
Now, do I, when I draw out these sine waves, do I have to take, in terms of their height, do I have to take anything from the actual, from the triangle or anything, incorporate that into the height?
No, not at all. See, it's independent. All you're doing is you are putting or justifying a circular wave on a flat plane. That's all.
Okay.
And so it, you're right. It would have nothing to do with it. Now, once you get them all plotted, then you come back and look and go, okay, Ion, I have 3 points that intersect on A. I have 3 points that intersect inside my original triangle. And you go, okay, the first one times the second one times the third one is a great big number. Then you divide that by the total number of peak and trough intersections between the two tangents. Okay, and then that becomes your A value. And then you do the same thing for B, and then it's A over B, remember? Then
yes.
You either divide that by or take the Maybank rate and divide it into or by your A over B. And that should give you a plottable value of A2. But you don't know where to plot A2 yet until you do C to see if your X has raised or lowered or remained the same. And let's just say for ease it stayed the same. And your value for A2 is plotted, and it's different than your original A value. That'll tell you the exact new price of your first pair in position to your that same pair as A2.
Mm-hmm.
So if it goes up 5 pips or down 5 pips, that tells you your future price.
Okay, so how right now my triangle is C, the number of C wide. So, like, my number for C is 1.29.
Say that again. The value of C wide.
The value of C is determining how wide my triangle is in terms of how far right it goes on the x-axis.
Well, that is the case, but that makes no difference. The significance of C is that predicated set angle that you're right justifying everything to, because it doesn't
okay,
change.
So at this point when I'm trying to figure out how many intersection points are between my tangents,
yeah,
how do I know how to justify the tangents on my graph paper compared to the waves when I plot, when I get assigned?
That's when the hula hoop miserable metaphor kicks in. A sine or cosine wave. That proper mechanics, and that'll clean up the frequency issue, which is your own.
Well, when you say frequency, right
how
now,
often
all
it repeats.
Yes, how often? Well, right now it repeats infinitely, but it's the scale in which it repeats versus the scale in which my triangle's laid out.
Well, now, yes, it repeats infinitely, but you're wanting to plot only the position between the two tangents.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, it would be an infinite repetition because it's a wavelength, certainly.
Yes.
This is old school, yes. Back in the day when people are trying to figure out water coming out of a water hose, okay? You have water, and you turn the water hose on wide open, and the water will just sort of squirt out, and then it'll fall over at an arc, correct?
Yeah.
Now, you can understand that. Less water, it just sort of trickles out. A big force of water, it shoots out a little bit, but it makes a wave, an arc. Now, take the very same knowing that you played with a water hose and apply that to a pipe organ. You hit C on a pipe organ, it doesn't come out like a water hose. It flies from a frequency. That frequency then goes directly forever until it bounces off something, then it's a brand new tangent. And that sound, like you've been into some of the great big cathedrals, and you can go up into the upper levels and somebody can be down like in the down close to the altar, whispering to someone, and the way those waves bounce, you can hear every word they say. It's amazing. Just because the new tangent puts you in a closer proximity. And they may be 200 feet away, but you can hear them in a whisper. Okay? That's the magic of wavelengths. Because when they bounce, that's off of another tangent. And where you are in perspective of that tangent puts you close or far away regarding the resonance of that frequency that you're considering. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting because that'll give you a little bird's eye view of the difference of trying to take a wavelength and plot it on a floor. Okay? It really doesn't work that way. But you can plot that frequency with the information to get it from a linear perspective.
See, once I have the angles, once I've plotted the triangle out and I've got the angles, all I'm really focused on is the relationship of everything, like of everything to the angles. I don't really need the prices anymore.
No, not at all. That's exactly correct. That was just what you're considering for triangulation.
Okay.
Price won't come up
again
until you justify the value of A2. Then you compare it to your original A.
Okay, so for example, my whole triangle at this point is 10 spaces wide. So I can fit my tangent at 7, and then it's a nice 7 days out, okay?
Okay, so what was your value of C?
My value of C was 1.29858.
So you changed the ratio to move it out 10 points.
I just plotted it on I just made sure that it was plotted over 10 squares.
No, Nelson, no, baby. No. See, if you just indiscriminately move C. If you move the decimal point of the value of C and it's 1.8, then you'd have to go over 18.
Oh, I haven't touched the decimal point.
Great. Well, then you can't move it over. You can't plot C just indiscriminately over 10 either, unless you move A up 10 and B up 10.
Well, C, okay,
see,
so
whatever you do, you got to do it to all of them because you'll change the angle.
Oh, the angles haven't, like my angles are the same. I've basically
not if you just indiscriminately plot C at 10 spaces over when your value of C was 1.8.
Oh, my value of C is 1.29. But
okay, then you should be 1.29, then it should be at one block over and then a 0.2 and then a 9, so about 1 1/3. So it should be one block and then about a third. Now, if we say you can shift that over, but how much you shift it over, you got to do that to A and B. Otherwise, your ratio, no wonder. There you go. That's where you cross.
Well, for example, okay, so right now, the farthest the triangle goes to the right on the piece of paper is 1.29858. Okay. And when I plot the wave using the equation sine times 39 degrees x, okay, that's the equation I'm using. The first time it intersects below its x-axis is at where is it here? Is at 5.7611. And
well, exactly, because we know, because here we go. Okay, here's where you're so close you can taste it. Okay, let's do this with no decimals. All right.
Okay.
Now you can do this. You can do this. All right.
Okay.
Give me your value of your pair of A.
1.60049.
Okay, make 1.60049, make that a whole number.
Okay. So 16?